Double Tap.
This week on Double Tap, Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens.
I was like, oh my god, it's a buy. It's a complete buy. It's in my wallet.
And our graphic novels on the rise.
I'd never known about Daredevil before, and then I watched a TV series. I was like, oh my gosh, I have to read the comics. I have to find out a bit more. And a lot of people are really enjoying that sort of side of things.
Welcome to Double Tap. As you might have noticed, I'm not Alice Taplin. She's away on holiday. I'm Jamie Wareham, Double Tap's producer, and I've stepped in to do my best at keeping her seat warm until she comes back. Later in the show, we head out back to the floor at MCM Comic-Con in London to explore graphic novels with our reporter Simon Levance. But first, and I do have to say a massive thanks to Alice for leaving me with this one, it's the most giggle pop franchise out there. Yes, another Lego game, Lego Star Wars. I sat down with 8-Bit Geek podcast host Jeremy Jones to get silly excited about the new game, which takes Lego games to a new level.
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
I am really excited. Generally for the Lego games, I mean, they've had so many of them come out as of late that it's harder and harder to get to excited, especially because of the last one. This one, by far, when they released the first trailer and it was like a shot by shot of the first Force Awakens trailer, it was just like, I was like, oh my god, it's a buy. It's a complete buy. I don't even care what they show next. It's in my wallet. I gotta go.
Absolutely, because I mean, in those teasers, you've got like the dogfights with the X-Y fighters as well. You've got the Battlestar Destroyers. There feels like there's lots of extra elements that you don't usually get in a Lego game.
You know, they introduced a lot of cool new things. Like, this is the first time that they're going to have cover fire, and so you'll be able to, you know, hide behind things and shoot out and stuff like that. So it adds a new element, which is really cool. And then when they announced also that they're going to be doing exclusive new story levels and brought all the voice actors back, they brought all the actors back to voice the characters from the film. I was sold, even Harrison Ford, which I was like, what? So I couldn't believe that they pulled that one off.
Because they're expanding the story massively, aren't they? There's the teasers you can find out about capturing the Raptors. There's more about Poe Dameron and the Lor San Tekka backstory. Like, that must have incurred a lot of involvement from kind of Disney and Star Wars.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, it's such a big brand now. I don't know why. If you're in the film, at least if I were, I'd just be like, I'm signing on for everything. Like, why not? And this one, I mean, to just play extended stories of it and be able to get the backstories. If you're not into, you know, reading the books that they've released, video games is a great way to interact and find out all those great little tidbits.
Absolutely. Is there one in particular that you're looking forward to finding out more about the kind of backstory of?
I would love for them to expand on what's the creature's name, what Han Solo was hunting him?
The Raptors.
Yeah. That one, probably, because I would have loved to see a little bit more of them in the film, like how, you know, where they came from and everything like that. So I think it'd be fun to play as Han Solo and go through that.
Yeah, absolutely. As well, because they reminded me of that crazy desert creature that Jabba the Hutt throws people into as well.
Yeah.
That kind of the massive teeth and stuff, don't they? Have you been watching the kind of Lego Star Wars cartoons as well that have kind of been around to kind of basically hype up this game?
I have it on DVR, but I'm not allowed to watch it without my son. he's off for summer. Today is the day that we're going to power through a couple of them and get through that. So I have yet to watch them, but it's going to happen.
Because what I like about like the elements that you get from that is like Star Wars is basically taking the mick out of itself now. You know, post Family Guy, you know, even in the latest film when they destroy the super Death Star and Han Solo's like, I think we already did this once before. That's what's so great about this brand.
You know, I love that they can interrupt a serious moment with some comedy. And that's what, I mean, it's kind of built like a Pixar film, right? To where it's meant for kids, but it has humor for adults.
What was your job when you were based here?
Sanitation.
Sanitation? People are counting on us. We'll figure it out.
Lego's come so far. I remember when I used to first start playing the Lego games, and it was basically an arcade game, wasn't it? It was left to right. And now they're talking about like multi-builds, different strategies to complete the same levels. How do you feel about those kind of elements being brought in to complicate the game?
It's going to be interesting to see how the younger audience reacts to it, right? Because my son's 8, and you know, he enjoys the Lego games, and I'm sure it's going to be, I think it'll take one level for everybody to really catch on. I don't think that they're reinventing the wheel. I just think, you know, and they're going to keep it accessible for everybody. But I think that when you add a little bit of more complexity, it adds more depth. So I think that people are going to really enjoy it. I'm interested to see it. I also heard that you can fly around the Millennium Falcon in it as well.
Yeah. And actually, I'm glad you touched back on the kind of Starfighter stuff, because I think it's interesting that basically, like, when I was watching the trailer, I was like, it looks like there's elements of the Star Wars Battlefront thrown in there as well.
Yeah, I don't know how they explained it. They said that there are missions that you'll be able to fly. And so that's something I haven't seen in a Star Wars or in a Lego game. And but they also mentioned that it's in arenas. So I don't know how that's going to work. Hopefully you'll be able to actually fly through that exciting scene in the film in the beginning when Rey was flying the Millennium Falcon through all the old Star Destroyers and stuff like that. That'd be a fun stage. But when they mentioned arenas, I'm not sure how that's going to work out.
And this isn't the only LEGO game we're getting this year. We've obviously got what is basically the new LEGO universe lined up at the end of the year, which is LEGO Dimensions, not just online anymore, but also for consoles. And that's got like a host of characters in it.
The Dimensions I'm a little skeptical about, because I don't know what the... It costs so much money to get into that series. Not only do you have to pay here in America, it's $80 on sale, normally $100, and then each set is going to run you anywhere from $12.99 to $24.99. So it's toys to life. You buy them and you put them on your pad, and then they come to life in the game, and you get the levels when you purchase the character sets. And so the only difference is that, of course, it's all made of Legos, and Lego has a very extensive license, IP licenses for everything across the board. So it looks like a blast, but it is a shrinking market. We just saw Disney get out of it.
And do you think basically what Lego have done is seen Disney do that, been like, that looks great, let's get into that, and then just been too slow about it?
They haven't released a lot of figures as numbers. So I don't know how well they're actually doing. Skylanders was a huge market, but now when you go into the stores, you actually see it just a really small area. And so it's a business that definitely is still making money, or else Activision wouldn't be doing it with Skylanders. But it'd be really interesting to see what Lego is actually making off of this stuff.
Yeah, especially as, you know, you've got a host of characters in this. Mm-hmm. Harry Potter, Gremlins, and Sonic this year, which is, I think, is interesting based on how Sega Sonic is, and it's their 25th anniversary this year. It seems like basically everyone else marketing on the Lego game.
Those IPs aren't cheap.
And by IP, you mean intellectual property, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously they've revived a lot of dead ones, which is, you know, that doesn't cost much money. But, you know, Harry Potter and all these other ones, you know, and then... That's why they have to charge the money that they do. I'll probably pick it up when it goes down in price and try it out and see how it is. Although I have heard that you have to place these characters in multiple spots on the gamepad, which does not interest me because I don't want to get up off my couch every 5 minutes.
Just want an easy gameplay, right? Just give us downloadable characters.
Just want to put it on there and then go. I don't want to switch from point A to B and C to D. I just want to play.
The dark side and the light.
Couldn't resist but to end on that epic soundtrack again. Thanks, Jeremy from 8-Bit Geek Podcast. Don't forget to check out their show. You can get it on Audioboom. Now, though, it's time for our weekly gaming and esports update. This week, with Audioboom's Karen Bevan.
After a 6-year court fight, Sony has agreed to a settlement over the removal of the Other OS option on the PlayStation 3, which was axed over security concerns. Pending judicial approval, if the settlement goes ahead, it could have to pay out millions in claims and attorney's fees. The ex-Lionhead developers of Flaming Foul Studios have closed the Kickstarter campaign for Fable-inspired Fortunes card game, indicating that the game is now fully funded by other unspecified means. And as the Sonic anniversary nears, head of Sonic team Takeshi Iizuka has confirmed the development of a new Sonic game and full movie, actively done by Sony Pictures. And now for the esports. For the second year in a row, EA has dominated the E3 Twitch streaming figures, getting close to a million with over 100,000 more viewers than nearest rival Microsoft. And SK Gaming have released a statement that says they will be parting ways with their Danish CSGO team. The move comes just days after Jacob Pimp Winnechi left the roster to move to North America and join Team Liquid.
Thanks, Karen. Now, following the mainstream success of TV shows such as Game of Thrones and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we sent Simon Levans into Comic Village at MCM Comic Con in London to find out if more people are being drawn into reading comic books off the back of popular franchises.
Comic Village takes up a huge part of the space here at MCM Comic Con. I can see stands from some of the biggest names in the world of comic books, but there are loads of indie comic producers here too. Now, who to speak to find out if readership is expanding? I see a freedom flag. I shall start there.
I think we're finding there are a lot more people who are getting into comic books.
Joe Glass, writer and creator of The Pride.
It's a bit of a slower process because obviously, particularly when you're looking at something like the big two, like Marvel and DC, it is quite daunting. There are literally decades of history to try and get involved with as well. But there's a lot of new readers coming in and shows like this are great with the for the indie creators like myself who have brand new books which don't have that level of back history which is daunting to some people. So a lot of people actually are going for books like this because they get to start in on the ground level of the project, you know?
YouTuber and manga illustrator Safira Liu.
More people are coming to comic conventions, they're enjoying buying indie comics, and they've got some really big conventions in the UK which are mainly focused on indie comics, and it's becoming a really wonderful environment for people to enjoy and have a fantastic time.
Adam James Fawkes from Bramble Time.
I think Kickstarter has been very good at making people aware that there's small press out there that are trying to launch their own titles, and I do think that that appeals to people beyond the sort of general fandom. I think that's also got a sort of DIY attitude to it, and I think it's actually a little bit punk rock maybe. It's definitely, I think, got a different angle on it. Whether that is beyond the geek, as you put it, I don't know. But I definitely meet a big variety of people here at MCM events that sometimes they start the conversation with, oh, I didn't think this would be for me, but I'm really enjoying it. And then when you tell them about your ideas, they would never seek out an independent comic like ours unless they just stumbled across it. But something made them come over. Maybe it was the artwork. Maybe it was the fact that we're very inviting people. I don't know. But yeah, we get all sorts of people that have maybe been dragged along to Comic Con by family members, but have really ended up enjoying our books. So hopefully we actually get to introducing people to it as well. I don't know, but yeah, I think it does. I think depends on the title, obviously, but I think there is room for going beyond the geek.
And do you specifically write some stories and some editions to draw people in who aren't familiar with the genre?
Yeah, I think, I try to write in a very sort of cinematic way. I try and sort of write like a short film in a weird way. So I'm less sort of mainstream superhero or anything like that. We don't really do that at Bramble Time. We do stories that are sort of real sort of nice beginning, middle and end, kind of, you know, three acts, kind of you know where you are within the story, but it does as soon as you feel comfortable, it kind of pulls the rug out from under you with a few twists. So we generally craft our stories around a sort of more of a movie kind of feel. And I think that definitely is our, sort of our selling point, really. So, yeah, we're a little bit less about the sort of more superhero stuff and that sort of thing.
I wondered if people were tempted to dip their toe into the comic book pool by seeking out a publication associated with their favourite TV show.
I think it's certainly a good way.
Joe Glass again.
I mean, if anything else, if it attracts you into the medium of comic books, then you can obviously use that as a way to sort of start understanding how the medium works. Like, it sounds like it should be something super simple to do, but some people do struggle with how reading a comic works exactly, the panel progression, how to go through it. So I think coming from being a fan of one of these massive media products like Walking Dead or Game of Thrones and finding the related comic books, you've at least got that connection, so you have a little bit more invested to get used to how that medium works. And then from there, like say, hopefully they branch out and start trying other things in that medium. So hopefully with films like Watchmen, obviously got a lot of people buying the Watchmen graphic novel. So
I'd never known about Daredevil before, and then I watched a TV series. I was like, oh my gosh, I have to read the comics. I have to find out a bit more. And a lot of people are really enjoying that sort of side of things. So you'll find that a lot of people do transition over to the comic side of things as well, which has been amazing. It's really good that film can promote the original work, and I do like that.
Saphira Liu again. It struck me that some people thinking of getting into comic books may find a printed version a little old-fashioned, so I asked Joe Glass how easy it was to get comics in a digital format.
You can actually get quite a lot of comics and graphic novels on Kindle itself. Comixology is an app which you can download on most mobile devices, which is a app which is bespoke to comic books, so it works the same way as Kindle, but it's all comic books and graphic novels and manga as well. So like I say, it is something which the comics medium has sort of stretched into, and there's more all the time. There are like always new services coming out, like DC, Marvel, they have their own sort of unlimited services, so working a bit like Spotify, you pay so much a month and you get to read as much as you can kind of thing. So there's plenty out there for people who want to remain to just a digital product to actually read their comic books. So obviously it is something which is moving forward, but I think the printed medium is never something which is going to go away. At the end of the day, people still like a book sometimes, something which they can hold in their hands. And it's the same with comic books. Like, at the end of the day, it's something you can hold in your hand and appreciate the artwork. And there's that extra level of knowing that you own that little bit of artwork in some way, which I think still attracts people to the printed comic books as well.
Well, I'm not sure if my visit to Comic Village will persuade me to seek out my local comic book store, but I must say, everyone I talked to was very friendly and really knew their stuff. I have checked out comixology.com, however, and there's loads of Star Trek comics on there.
Simon Levance, clearly the massive Trekkie. On the floor at MCM Comic-Con there. Big thanks to Jeremy Jones from 8-Bit Geek Podcast for joining us on this week's show too. Alice is back next week. See you then. Double Tap is an Audio Boom production, this week presented and produced by Jamie Wareham. The news was read by Karen Bev.
Tap Tap. Double Tap.
Double Tap is an Audio Boom production, presented by Alice Taplin and produced by Jamie Wareham.